This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, April 16th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. As we've been talking about on the show, Apple is set to roll out an iOS update that would require apps to ask users' permission before tracking them. Another tech titan, Facebook, is among the most vocal opponents to the change. It says the lost access to data could hurt its advertising business. On today's show, we'll talk about another group that could take a hit as a result of the change: small businesses. Our tech columnist Christopher Mims has been speaking with small business owners to find out what they think. He'll join us to talk about it after these headlines. The Biden administration formally accused Russian intelligence services of carrying out the massive SolarWinds hack of U.S. government and corporate computer systems. The accusation came as part of a range of retaliatory measures by the U.S. against Russia, including sanctions and the expulsion of diplomats. The moves are being made in response to the hack, as well as Moscow's alleged election interference and other activity. A senior administration official said some of the U.S.'s actions would remain unseen, hinting that the U.S. would take covert or cyber actions of its own. Kremlin officials and supporters said Russia's response would be fierce and reciprocal. Moscow has previously denied responsibility for the SolarWinds attack and for interfering in the U.S. election. And the fastest-growing mobile phone service providers in the U.S. are cable companies. More than 5 million Americans now pay for cell service through their cable TV providers, enticed by low prices and the ability to easily adjust their phone plans. Here's our reporter Lillian Rizzo with more.
The reason why it works so well for them, or it has been working so well in the last few years, is that there's such a big reliance on using Wi-Fi. You know, we're at home, we're at work. Even when we go into a coffee shop now, there's usually a Wi-Fi password. And so we don't have to rely as much on our cell phone data as we used to. And we're able to use Wi-Fi, which broadband has been one of the biggest businesses for these cable companies in recent years.
All right, coming up after the break, Facebook and Apple are going head-to-head over data collection and user privacy. But small businesses could get caught in the crossfire. We'll have more on that next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
In the next iOS update, Apple is set to roll out a new feature that'll require apps to get permission from users before tracking them. We've been talking about this a lot on the show. Apple says the change is meant to give users more control over their data. Meanwhile, Facebook has been pushing back vehemently. It says it depends on that data to serve users ads that are relevant to them. And while the tech giants battle it out, lost in the debate are many small businesses, which rely on user data to reach customers that they might not otherwise. For more on this, I'm joined by our tech columnist, Christopher Mims. Hey, Christopher, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And before we get into this, we should note here that the owner of the Wall Street Journal, News Corp, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Facebook. And our publisher, Dow Jones, has a commercial agreement to supply news through Apple services. So, Christopher, how has digital advertising become so important to small businesses?
So a lot of small businesses have been using digital advertising in ways that, frankly, are novel as of the past 10 or 15 years. They're relying on things like so-called lookalike audiences on Facebook, which is this complicated AI-powered algorithm. And the way that it works is maybe you have a small mailing list, could have 100 or 1,000 or 15,000 people on it. You dump that into Facebook. Facebook matches that with real profiles, and then it uses its auto magic algorithm to spit back a much larger potential lookalike audience that you can then advertise to. So this is one form of what people call targeted advertising. This advertising has been so efficient that it has made Facebook's revenue grow and grow. And it has also meant that tons of small businesses, they are able to in real time, or were able to in real time, measure so-called return on ad spend that they would get. So that, you know, you could throw $100 into a little campaign and, you know, see if people like your tiny Instagram ad or your little video that you've put together about how great and authentic your roasted coffee beans are, and you're off to the races.
So it sounds like targeted advertising has really enabled kind of relatively low costs and high return on investments when it comes to ad dollars. But now Apple is rolling out a new update, as we mentioned, that will give users the choice of whether they want to allow companies to track them. How are small businesses saying this is going to impact them?
So one of the people I talked to about this is Christian Loversich, and he's the CEO and founder of Pixelfeed Media. This is an e-commerce marketing agency that really got its start helping small businesses advertise on Facebook and elsewhere. And he says that it's going to be small businesses that take the brunt of this.
Those are the ones that are really hurting. It's not Facebook. It's not marketing agencies like mine, because we always find a way, you know, I'm already established. What's hurting is the entrepreneur, someone who has a dream.
So the bottom line for small businesses is that they're going to get less return on every dollar they spend on advertising, because it gives, for instance, the lookalike audience algorithm that Facebook uses a coarser picture of who people are. So instead of, you know, giving you back, here are like the 10 or the 20 or the 100,000 people who look exactly like your existing customers, like it might be, here's 10 times as many, here's 1 million people, and you're going to need to advertise to all of them to get the same number of purchases as you would have gotten before advertising to, you know, 20% or a tenth as many.
So it sounds like small businesses are largely siding with Facebook in this whole debate.
I think that's absolutely true. For a lot of these small businesses, the privacy of millions of people is a somewhat abstract concept. That's not to say that they don't care about privacy. But for them, if someone like Apple is coming to them and saying, hey, we've already taking these other steps to reduce the amount of information you have about a given person. You know, Facebook and Google have experienced all this scrutiny, so they're anonymizing any data that they gather about each individual. You know, hey, now we're going to take away this last little bit of identifying information that you had, and that's going to severely impact your business. You know, small businesses, most of them really aren't having that, and they would rather that we maintain the status quo, which is, of course, what Facebook wants as well. So more to the point, a lot of small businesses are objecting to the fact that Apple is deciding this for everybody else, for the entire ad ecosystem. One entrepreneur who I talked to, John Maris, he is the CEO of Solo Stove, and they're an e-commerce company that makes backyard fire pits.
I don't think that Apple should be the authoritarian on what privacy is. I think that it should be, in the perfect world, the biggest brands like Facebook and Google and Apple would work together and help determine, you know, along with consumers and others, would help figure this out. But instead, it just feels like we have this big, huge behemoth over here on an island that has tons of control because they own the hardware.
Of course, there's some irony in John of Solo Stove saying that Apple is the behemoth here that's in charge, when Google and Facebook together control, you know, 60 or 70% of all advertising. But they do represent all of these individual small businesses, and they're the closest thing they have to some kind of ability for them to do collective bargaining with Apple.
And, you know, we've talked on the show before about how some larger companies have been working to adapt to this new update. What about small businesses? What are they doing?
The small businesses that have the resources are doing a couple of things. One is they're working with existing agencies, which focus on these small and mid-sized businesses, to change their strategy around where and how they advertise and gather more of their own data. So relying less on these sophisticated dashboards and ad planning systems that, you know, exist on Facebook and Google systems, and trying to do more of that tracking internally so they can see, you know, when does someone see an ad? How long does it take them to actually make a purchase? How far into that, you know, so-called sales funnel do they get? So John Maris of Solo Stove, he had to make the fairly extraordinary step of hiring 4 engineers for a period of 4 months to build his own internal ad tracking system, which tracks users and advertisements across all the places where he advertises, even places like Pinterest and podcasts.
I mean, every dollar that's spent by a small business needs to return something. And we're being forced to look really hard at every dollar and see, can we determine without the platforms educating us on it, can we determine on our own that when we spent a dollar, we got $3 in return by generating a sale? And if we can't do that, our model as a brand right now is we can't spend there anymore.
And to be clear, when a business realizes that a particular advertising sales channel doesn't work, it's not the end of the world as they know it. They have other channels. So people shift their spend from Facebook to Google or from Google to, you know, podcasts, as we all know. Podcasts apparently actually work really well. So it's not the end of the world for a lot of these, at least medium-sized businesses, but it does require a shift. And that's a headache for a lot of them on top of what's already been a very difficult year.
Right. Headache, not to mention time and money. So how is Apple responding to some of the concerns that they've heard from the smaller advertisers in addition to the bigger players like Facebook?
So Apple CEO Tim Cook and Apple's spokespeople have all said, you know, look, we're not against advertising, but fundamentally, our values are data should only be gathered with consent, and we are going to take every step we can to protect your privacy. And he really views this as a moral imperative. They have said that concerns about how this will impact advertisers are overblown, but also they have said that, look, whatever the impact on advertisers, privacy is a greater good. And they've rolled out a couple of features that should allow advertisers to do some limited, what's called attribution, which means, oh, I know you saw this ad, and then I know you took this action that I want you to take, purchasing something, installing an app, whatever it was that I paid for that ad to accomplish. One of the challenges from a user side, this is of course an asset, is that it all has to be done on your phone. So the device, the data is never sent to the cloud. So that's great for protecting your privacy. The downside is if you're anybody other than Apple, you never see that data, which is obviously why Facebook and Google hate this.
So looking to the future, this update is coming. Advertisers, big and small, are working to adjust. Apple is standing its ground. What could this mean in the long term? How could we see this play out?
You know, the future isn't written yet, but especially at a moment like this, all kinds of interesting things could happen. So what I have heard is that Apple is getting attacked kind of from two different directions at once. One is, you know, how could you hurt small businesses and little advertisers like this? The other one is, how could you take a step that's going to entrench Facebook and Google's dominance in the ad market? And what people mean when they say that is by eliminating the ability for anybody to gather some limited data about you and then advertise to you, it could ultimately advantage companies like Facebook and Google, because what they can do in response is they can say, okay, how can we keep people in our apps longer inside of our walled garden? Because inside their walled garden, when you're in the Google Maps app or YouTube or Facebook main app or Instagram, anything that you're doing in there, they can still track you to the last detail if they want. What's really changing is now they can't track you across apps and websites. So this creates this incredibly powerful economic incentive for Facebook and Google to gather more first-party data on you, to suck you deeper and deeper into their walled garden. You know, for small businesses, it's not clear yet. I think it's going to force them to make more expensive and difficult changes. So if this means that Facebook wants to keep you inside their apps longer, then small businesses who might have already invested a lot of money in creating storefronts on the web, on their own sites, might be forced to build their web stores inside of Facebook's app or inside of Instagram, which is a capability that exists now. And so that's an additional expense for them. And it's an additional expense to maintain inventory across that and their main site. But they may have no choice. So I think it's going to end up costing them more money. It may be more effective, maybe less effective, depending on the business. It's going to change the landscape and mean more disruption for them.
All right. That's our tech columnist, Christopher Mims. Thanks, Christopher.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.